Hello everybody and welcome to the AntPod, where today we're asking the question, is this hobby doomed? Dun, dun, dun. And wow, that's one hell of a clickbait title. I know, I'm very proud of it. But why do I say this? Well, there's less and less active content creators. Big ones like Ants Canada are not really talking much about ants nowadays, just talking about all of these ecosystems, and he's been one of the big ones who's pulled a lot of the current ant keepers into the hobby. And there's also just a lack of smaller content creators. A few years ago there was a lot of active ones, and now, well, there's less. That's something we're gonna be discussing today. And finally, I feel like there are very few original ant stores out there. It seems more and more people are getting 3D printers and they're just starting to copy one another. And they say, oh, well, this guy's got a 3D printer, let me just copy his products and start reselling them as my own. And yeah, that's a very aggressive way to start this podcast. But with that being said, we also have Lynn and Jake on the panel today. And Jake, what are your first thoughts to my very aggressive words right here?
I guess in some ways you could say it's like it's doomed, but in other ways I don't think it's going to be going anywhere anytime soon. The videos at the moment, it does feel like it's a bit doomed, but it is kind of just after hibernation, so I'm kind of expecting a lot of channels to kind of pop up and like wake up. But I'll just go for a few of the active channels though that I found, because I've got quite a few, so I think there's a good amount out there. Got like Ants, these are the Americans I think, but Ants, Anthropod Antics, the Dragon Blue, Ant Apprentice, and Bradamus 1981. Definitely worth checking them out. But yeah, there's quite a few in America. Got kind of a handful over there. There's a lot of French, like active French ones as well. But I've only got two written down, like Le Formi Sauvage and Linko Formi. They seem pretty active. Every like week to 2 weeks, they'll chuck out a video. However, there was a lot more French creators like 6 months ago.
Do you feel like stores are copying? Of course, you are a store. You're both a YouTuber and a store, so you're actually the ultimate host to have here today, because you're doing both the things we're talking about. What do you think of stores? Are we having an issue there?
It is a little bit saturated at the market, I'd say, at the minute, for all of the same nest, to be fair.
But yeah.
Somebody like they does need a bit more. It doesn't need a bit more innovation, but it could do with a bit more innovation, sort of thing. And more people as well, just thinking outside the box and thoroughly testing their ideas and bringing out things that are kind of completely new. I like new things, personally. It's my view on it is, though, someone's already made it, it's not worth making again. You're just like wasting time and you're not really pushing anything forward. You're just copying. So I don't know, I always like to think a bit more and go a little bit crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it may be the very wholesome way of saying it, but like whenever a store creates a good product, I feel like they deserve to have that as their product. Like that's their product. It's not something every store should, I can copy this in 10 minutes and start selling my own and sell it £1 cheaper so mine looks better. It's no, just everything comes down to money. And that's where, Jake, you've made some very interesting nests in the past, and just different accessories. Like you've really, with that liquid feeder and the trash box and
the bin
and the nano nest and stuff like that, it's some original ideas. At least the nano nest is a twist on the usual test tube setup, and not just a Venus copy. Yeah, but it's not just a Venus copy or a Saturn copy, because it's its own twist. There's only so much you can do with test tubes. I mean, test tube accessories in general, I don't think you can really do much about it. It's all based around the same concept. But yeah, Lynn, you're also here today. What do you think? Is the hobby doomed?
Well, I'm not really sure. I do feel like there's indeed a lack of content creators, a lot of content creators quitting with creating content. Not really any big new ones coming up. It's a bit of an issue. And people going to short, of course, instead of regular videos and not making any big quality videos. But I'm also a bit, during hibernation, I'm like out of it, I guess. So I'm not really searching or watching any new things either. So I've honestly no clue about YouTube at the moment.
I think you're saying something correct with the shorts. If you're out there and you make videos, please contact us. Because I personally, whenever I find a new ant creator who has like 500 subscribers, I'm like, hang on, how did I not know about this guy? or girl. So if you're listening to this podcast, like, hang on, I didn't get a shout out, just send us a message and we'll check you out. But yeah, I feel like shorts are definitely hurting a lot of, at least from an outside perspective, because we may have like Campanigo, he's an active Ant YouTuber who makes Ant videos, but it's short form. And I'm gonna be honest, like, I know my main channel is all about short form. I would much rather spend the time on main channel videos, but it just takes so long, and if they flop, it's just such a big demoralization if they flop. Compared to if a short flops, it's just meh.
I don't know, I think the whole hobby, like shorts, you end up with like, everybody lose it. Like yeah. the end content, it might be all right, but they've still kind of missed out on a proper video. And but at the other end, you get like, from the creator's point of view, as you said, like, your video, like, well, a lot of creators, it's like they want to get the subscribers, and they might get like 500 subscribers like using short, but then they'll put out a video and they'll get like 15 views or something, if you get what I mean.
Yeah.
And it must be like so disheartening for the creator as well, because it's like, oh, I've got all these subscribers, but they don't want to watch my video. Like, and I do find that with shorts, you kind of get empty subscribers almost.
Yeah, it's so truly said. It's so correctly said. I mean, last year I got 70 million views on YouTube. So 70 million, it resulted in 130,000 subscribers. I mean, these are big numbers. And when I made my ecosystem video that I'd spent so many weeks on, I expected it to get like 5,000 to 10,000 views, which is very small compared to me having 130,000 subscribers. And it got 5,000 views in the first month. I mean, that was such a big slap in the face, big punch in the stomach. I'm just like, yeah, may as well just do shorts, because minimal effort and yeah, maximum outcome sometimes. Other times it's just not. But it's just so demoralizing. And back to you, Lynn, because we never got your thoughts on the stores. What do you think is the hobby doing regarding stores? Of course, I saw you started testing or trying out a weird 3D printed nest the other week.
Oh, that's a really old, because that's actually a really sad story, that nest. Because that shop actually closed down at the minute.
Which shop is it?
They're called Ant Heap. And I love that shop. I've always liked it. When I first started Antkeeping and got my Campanotus maculatus back in the day, I actually drove by them to get a maculatus boost from their big colony, and they gave me all these tips and they showed me their ant room and their ants, and I got so motivated to get into the hobby because their room was so amazing and all those ants were amazing and they had so much different types and they were really helpful and with any question they wanted to answer your questions and everything. They were also the biggest sellers of feeder insects for all of the Netherlands, pretty much, maybe even the other countries, and they started selling for insects and tarantulas and stuff like that as well, because they made so much like red runners and dubias. They had so many of them and bred so successfully that they just supplied the whole country with red runners and stuff. And then Corona hit and everything went downhill there, I think. And the guy got sick very frequently and they wanted to do everything at once, but they could not do everything at once. Too many ideas, too little time. And PostNL had some kind of strike, or postal service. And a lot of packages from customers got lost. And they had to deal with that and fix all of that. And at the moment, it's still not fixed for some people. And the company right now has closed their store for the time being. They might be coming back, but that's a question mark for now. So that nest, I really like the nest. It's an awesome nest. It's a good idea. And the creators of the, because they have multiple creators working together with different types of nests, I always like their nests.
And for those who don't know what the nests are, can you describe how do they work, hydration system and stuff like that?
The nest I'm talking about is a photon nest, and they have a few different types. And this nest is a click and go system. It has no screws, nothing. So you just click it all together. And the hydration is actually via an Ytong plug that goes into the bottom drawer. And the bottom drawer, it soaks up the water that you put in the bottom drawer, and then creates the humidity because it goes up via that white tongue plug and spreads into the nest.
I mean, just listening to this sounds so cool. And the first thing we're going to a little bit go into talking about is lack of innovation from stores. Like, just listening to this, it's a click system, it has a white tongue, and it's just, it sounds so complicated, and that's what I feel like the hobby is really missing right now. Like Jake said very nicely before, shorts are hurting, maybe hurting more than it's doing good. And I think the availability of 3D printers may be doing exactly the same. I've been talking with a few stores lately, and they seem to all have the same issue that there are so many of these popping up 3D printed stores of like, oh yeah, look at our brand new 3D printed nest. It has a sponge system and it's never been tested, but it's for sale now. Well, it's been tested by thousands of fans, of course, if you ask them, and it works flawlessly for the 2 days they've been putting Elacious Nitro inside of it. Either way, it's the market is flooding with all of these guys who get their first 3D printer, and as soon as they've made one nest, they start selling the nest instead of testing and seeing if it works for different species. Because I think a lot of these stores are like, oh yeah, one colony, yeah, it works. All right, on to the next one. I mean, Jake, you are a store, so I think we should bring you a little bit in here. How much testing do you do before setting a product up for sale? And do you mention that it's how do you work around with new products?
Well, if it's in testing, I'll just send a few out to some people, like, for free, and be like, give it a test, and I'll test it myself.
Already there, Jake. Let me just interrupt. Perfect. Sending out free testers. I want to see that. All right, continue.
I'll send out the free testers, but when I, like, actually design the net, I'll actually take, like, a week off my other work, and I'll just be there for, like, a whole week, just, like, with all my printers going. Just printing out different versions, and like I'll probably make like 100 nests, like easy peasy, and you just like improve them, like every print you're like, oh, this could be a tiny bit better, this could be like a little bit better, and you just gotta kind of go for it. But yeah. I think a lot of people, they don't really go for it, and I don't know, maybe some people are more fussy. I'm well fussy, so if I don't like it or it's not perfect, it's like, nah, keep going. So it does take like a week, but I think they'll definitely be fussy. If you're like a shop, be fussy as hell.
Yeah, because what you say with what I'm really like what you said is that you send out freebies. What I see a lot of in the hobby currently is we have like 5 different stores releasing leafcutter nests, and I know 2 of the stores have had successful leafcutter setups in the past, but we have these other 3 who's just jumping in from out of nowhere. And you see these nests where you can put big question marks around everything. And I specifically one store, I'm going to try to avoid mentioning names today, not to piss off a lot of the viewers. But there's a store that showed, oh, this is the new leafcutter system. Soon we'll be testing and stuff like that. And it didn't take more than a week until it was on the site ready to be sold. And I'm like, dude, I remember back when Wakushi did his prototype testing for the old leafcutters, the ones that never hit the market. We had like 5 testers around Europe. We had Ants Hood and Ants and the Colonialist. I was a tester. Rob J was a tester, and we all just tested these products before they came out for sale. And all of them had issues that were resolved before.
They failed, if I remember.
So yeah, they all failed.
Ants are taken from somewhere.
Like, exactly. The same plug was the sensor plug. All the ant colonies pulled them out when they were hungry enough, and the lid started warping, and we had to hot glue stuff down. All of this perfect for prototypers because it was not a released product, and then when the final version came out, the issues were very minimal, to none. I mean, I had some long-term issues, but I mean, that version is outdated almost now. But I feel like when you see a post like, oh, this is in testing, and then a few days later, oh, it's out, like, dude, I've not even seen a colony inside of this. Can we just see some evidence that it's working? Lynn, of course, you're getting into the leafcutter hobby. What do you think of all of this lack of proofed testing?
Well, I cannot really talk much about that part because when a shop brings out a product, some shops don't really have that many people actually posting videos and footage of their ends inside such products. So what most companies really need is like a page on their site where customers can post ads inside of the specific setups to prove that it's actually a positive thing to put ads in, like with much like with leaf cutters.
I agree so much on this, and I'm of course been a big fanboy of Wakushi through a long time, and even I think even Wakushi lacks this, because when you go to his website, I feel like any company, when you go to the website, if they show a leaf cutter setup, show me two or three different leaf cutter species living healthy inside this. We have an otter living healthy in this, we have an acro living healthy in this, but instead you just see this empty product. And of course, I mean, even as a little bit of a Wakushi fanboy, I think Wakushi really misses this. I think Wakushi should add this. I think all stores should show the product in use, because if you can see, and not like, again, it's hard because you don't want a picture that's one day old, because then everything looks brand new, but it also doesn't show.
It doesn't have to be brand new. It needs to be dirty. Exactly. It needs to be ugly. Exactly. It needs to be used.
Exactly. We need to see signs that it's been tested for a month or more, and it's very clear to see products. I love taking videos of new products because it's so clean, but it doesn't show that it's been tested. It just shows, okay, I just bought a massive colony, moved it in, took a picture, it works, boom, outside. At least put a disclaimer on a product, like this is still early version, it's testing, that's why it's 50% off price, because it's testing still. I mean, that would be fine for me if they just let the customers know, but they come out at retail prices, like big expensive products, and it's like a week ago you said that this product was on the drawing, like, huh? it just messes me up. But yeah, Lynn, what you're saying with a site or somewhere to post these pictures of the products and testing, it's a great way to get the word out there, because it may just be the stores not showing it publicly that they're in testing. I don't know, maybe I'm just a little bit too harsh.
I think there should, you know, I don't know, like no pick, no proof, or is it no pick, no proof? I think so, yeah. So it is definitely worth it as a shop. Like, if it's working good, why wouldn't you take a load of pictures and be like, yep. Especially on like Instagram or something, because I know a lot of shops, it's like Instagram this, Instagram that, and it's like all you gotta do is take a picture of them, like stick them up when they're doing well, and I don't know, a few times just to show like they're progressing, and that'd be it.
Exactly.
I think it is a little bit of a, oh, it's been tested, but it hasn't really been tested. it might not kill them in a few days, but yeah, you never know, especially like even some of Wakushi's nests, like over, I don't know, 9 months sort of thing, you run into some random problems and it's like, oh, like, yeah, weird things, but you, at least they've been tested quite well, and you never know what's going to pop up in like 4 months. Is it going to warp? Is it going to like break? Is it going to do what? Like,
yeah, I mean, I have an outwool that's just cracking down all the sides currently, and it's quite clearly because the PTFE has somehow entered. Well, it's quite clear. I've put PTFE near where the two pieces of acrylic connect, and the PTF slipped in there, and now there's cracks forming, 20, 30, 40 cracks on all sides of the product. And I don't even know if you can avoid this or not, but it's something that you won't know. I mean, I talked with a few stores about, oh, it's the way the acrylic is cut that's apparently lets the PTFE, I don't know much, but that's apparently how the PTFE enters more easily. I don't know. Also, just generally, I have multiple outwalls in the past from different stores that have warped, where the lid is just not sitting flush anymore, and it's been after very minimal use, and I'm just sitting there thinking, huh? Surely the store must know this. Surely the stores, specifically with one product, one store, a few years ago, I had a major issue where so many customers was reaching out to me like, what do I do? The product is warping. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I'm so sorry. I recommended this. I shouldn't have done that. Yeah, I mean, going back to just general showcasing colonies and testing, I've seen a few nests where like Camponophthus nicobarensis have been put in. And they're like, oh, we're testing it with Nicos. And then a few days later, oh, it's ready to be sold. That just quite clearly shows only Nicos have been tested in them, and they're fairly beginner friendly. And I mean, it's fine that they test with Nicos, but can you at least just test also with like Nigers and maybe Garuba or something, so we have like a few different species? Because that just allows me, when I look at it, to think, okay, This guy has proved testing with a few different species, and it's a lot more comfortable to say this is a good product. I want to try it out.
It wouldn't be as bad if it like reflected in the price, like you're saying. Like, if they were mega cheap, that'd be all right. But as well with like 3D printed stuff, it costs like pennies to make things, and most of what you're buying is kind of the testing and I don't know, the faith in the product that is going to work, sort of thing. So if you haven't got any testing or people haven't got faith in the product yet, you should really sell it for like a few quid.
I mean, it ended up being a big running joke, and still is kind of a running joke with Wakushi's Gen 4, because it's on the website. You just have to search Gen 4. But that was initially so testers could get it as a discounted price. It's still a discounted price, I believe.
He's going to kill you for saying that. Like, 50 people are now going to go onto the website and be like...
Yeah. But the thing is, like, I'm soon receiving the updated version, because if I'm going to see if I have an old spare nest that I can compare. Because a lot of things have actually changed in the product in the Gen 4 from the first version to the... I think it's going to be released around Ancon time, officially, after only a year since it was unveiled at Ancon. but just... It was at a discounted price. I don't know if it still is or not, but it started at a discounted price. Only the people who know how to search for it could find it. And since then, the product has been updated and tested and changed. And although it's becoming a bit of a running joke that it's still not on the website, I feel like it's the right way to do it. To put out there that, okay, if you need to find this product, you need to know how to find it, because it's not out there. But it's still out there for the people who are interested in buying it and testing it. Lynn, you said a little bit like that you had about like pre-testers. What do you think of all of this?
I'm a big fan of testing nests. I have like a whole bunch of prototype nests just decorating my room pretty much, because I've tested them and tested them again and tested them again. And some I'm even test with like really hot temperatures and hot water and stuff like that, see what they can handle before they snap, how much weight they can put on, you can put on, which is not really necessary to test when there's ants going in. But when you ship a nest, you might need to know how much it can handle and stuff like that.
In other words, we have stores out here making brilliant products, and then Lynn just gets them, just snaps them.
I'm pretty much, if you need something that needs to be dummy tested for dumb people, I'm pretty much perfect for that, because I do really stupid things with my nest and products. I sometimes, some days, I cannot figure out even the simplest things, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I cannot unclick this. And then I went to the store, and he was like, clap, clap, done. This is really stupid. But yeah, if you have kids, again, if you have kids and they cannot figure it out, yeah, they're going to put bad reviews on your products. There you go.
Well, I mean, I myself have actually become one quite infamous tester because of overhydration. So yeah, if you need a water product to see if you need a product tested, rather it can handle a lot of water, just send them over to me and I'll give you a fine word of whether it's floods or not. but yeah, like you say, it's important to test these things, and it's hard to say whether it's the store's responsibility to do it. I think, are you receiving this stuff for free, Lynn, or what?
Yeah, usually I get all my testers for free, and then I test for a couple of months with a single colony, test again with another colony, indeed test humidity, test seed eaters, test for different types of heating with different types of ant species in there. All that kind of stuff, simple ants, difficult ants, expert ants.
And that's the way it should be. It should be like this. Months of testing and sending out freebies for the testers. And it just makes me even more annoyed when I see like new stores, like first thing they've copied like the Mini Art World, they've copied the Venus, they've copied the Saturn, they've copied all of these basic things. And you look at it like, I mean, it's clearly just a copy. And also just looks weird. Like, how much testing have you put into this? Ah, it's fine, it works. Can I see a colony in it? Oh, no, it's fine, it works. Just...
Oh, God.
I think it's brilliant to compare them to shorts. Like, it's flooded. It's a little bit flooded. 3D printers. Kits with 3D printers. And I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I'm just saying, test them. And I know, again, if you're a new store and I'm sitting here saying, oh, you need to send out to 10,000 people and you need to do hardcore testing for years, you don't need to do that. You just need to say, okay, I'm gonna lose money on this product, and therefore you're gonna have to pay for the shipping and the materials, and instead of the nest costing £20, you can get it for £5, and just let me know what you think about it. Then you've basically just lost nothing except the time you put into making it, but you can get some feedback. That's what you should do, and that's the safe way around going around everything. You don't need to make money the second you start a store, because that's not how things work. You need to go through testing periods, and slowly it's sure you build credibility, you build confidence, you know how things work, you know what flaws that may arrive. And instead of a lot of you out there having products from stores that don't work that you've paid a lot for and you're now upset, well, we avoid all of this. I mean, Jake, you've gone with some really strange designs in the past, and some really unique designs. What has led you to making these crazy looking, like the nest with the like hard stuff inside, and the fiber cable light?
Yeah. Well, sometimes like with that nest, like a lot of that nest was one. I just wanted kind of a cool looking nest where I could play around with fiber optics, and but I also wanted other shops to be like, ooh, fiber optics. Like that was the main reason I made it, because I want more shops to start adding fiber optics into their nests.
How's that going?
Not very well. No one has done it yet, but it's definitely like 100% worth it. I don't know why no other shops have started putting even little bits in, because they're just so good for light. Like you can't beat them if you kind of get some thick 4mm side glow fiber optics and stick them in your nest. You'll love it.
And for those who don't know what that is, what is it?
It's just like long bit of plastic. It's kind of a little tube. It's nice and bendy as well, so you can like wiggle it around your nest and inside the nest and stuff.
And what's the purpose? Like,
you stick your light at the end, and it'll kind of basically, because they're side glow, it gives out a little bit of light everywhere where the fiber optic is, so it lights up your whole kind of nest if you want. All kind of really nice for filming, to be fair, because the light is inside of the nest too, but it just kind of lights it up really efficiently.
I mean, I don't feel like I've seen much of your nest doing it. I feel we need to see some more pictures, Jake. I mean, I know you've been talking about it, but I haven't seen much of it, to be honest.
Although I've taken it off of the minute because I wasn't completely happy with that like nest, so I'm like, no, I've got version 2. I just need to test it, really, but I haven't tested it yet, so I'm not bringing it out. But I'm hoping by about August I'll have a version 2. But
I mean, just this is just amazing to hear. You're sitting here saying you're going to get this out in August, like we are in, what are we, in April now, and you don't want to go through testing. It's all we want to hear, Jake. It's all we want to hear.
And
one of the bullet points I've also made here on the podcast description or chat is hydration system. So What sort of hydration system are you rocking with these new versions, Jake?
Same as the old one, but the old one is, it's got its pros, but it does have a few cons. But I think in the first version, by about the second version, which kind of snuck its way out, I'd fixed all the hydration issues, but I'll just kind of give a spoiler of what the new nest will be. It'll be like the little tube still, but instead of at heart, it's just going to have like soil instead. Not like the whole thing full of soil, just kind of a little bit around the outside. Yeah, I think that'll kind of make it nice. The only issue I have is stopping the soil like dripping down into the hydration bit below. However, I use the, what is it, capillary reaction for my hydration, so nothing really gets absorbed anywhere.
You're coming with some very fancy words. So the hydration system will just be standing water inside the tube?
Pretty much, yeah. It sits down the bottom and then kind of pillar, I don't know that word, but through pillar reaction, pulls itself up the side into the nest.
Yeah. No, I think it's not a bad idea, especially because if the water is inside the tube, it's going to take a lot longer for it to evaporate compared to if it's in a tray underneath the nest. I imagine, because it will be enclosed in the cylinder itself.
Yeah. I think also has the benefit too is you don't need like a substrate either to kind of to hold on to the water, because they'll just sit there. So no sponge.
Yeah. And again, that's what I want to talk a little bit about now, because I feel like, again, coming back to all of the 3D printers out there just starting out and copying each other. And then again, it comes across very aggressive. And I'm not even mad about that, because I think I think it takes time to build confidence in a product and in a store, and people rushing out and not necessarily doing the correct testing beforehand. Again, I would say 5 different colonies in each nest, then you know it works if all 5 survive for multiple months at a time. But yeah, I see so many sponge nests. Like, I see Instagram says, oh, here's a recommendation for someone who used the hashtag ants, and I'm like, oh, what's this? It's a new nest. And then I realized, oh, hang on, it's a new store. Okay, let me just check them out on Instagram. And oh, they've covered the mini art world. And yep, it's the sponge nest they've made. All right, okay. Don't need to follow these guys for a while. And then I continue. And especially as a content creator, I also get reached out to by a few stores. And I've always just said no. I don't want to test out the products. I've decided from now on, I'm saying yes. And I'm saying, yeah, you can send out, but I'm going to be brutally honest when I open it and see that we have a sponge in here. And I'm going to explain that I don't like the sponge. But you feel free to send me a product. I'll showcase it. Lynn, what do you think of hydration system when you're testing different things?
Honestly, I really dislike sponge nests, especially if it's a sponge nest with the hydration from the side. So when you water the sponge and the sponge is... How do you even say sponge? Whatever the thing is, if you fill it too much, it floods the whole fucking nest. Yeah, sure, with the sponge you can actually pull it out again, sorta. You can try, if you're not too late, and drown all your ants by accident, like your Fardolis. I really don't like sponge nests. Ants need something, if possible, to lay their brood on top, which is moist or humid or whatever. This is why gypsum and whitetongue are such great options. Because 3D printed material, it does not hold on to this moisture. It lays on top of there, which is another point. Besides sponge nest, it usually combines with 3D printed nest or acrylic nests. I don't really like acrylic nests either. But with 3D printed glass and acrylic nests, the problem with most ant species that you put in there, they need something natural to put their scent on, to put their trash on. I actually talked about this in an earlier podcast, did I?
With
the formic acid?
Yeah, you said something with, it needs to be absorbed into the...
Into the nest. Yeah, that's another issue with 3D printed and acrylic nests, which usually goes hand in hand with the sponge options. It's cheap, and that's why people do it. It's cheap, it's easy. A lot of people have done it, but it's so bad.
Yeah, and I think it's a very well point with when the sponge and the ants are at the same level. Like you say, when you overhydrate the sponge, it floods the chamber, and then you have water, standing water, inside of your nest. And again, it's quite crazy to just think, like, I'm aesthetic ants' first product. Like, it's been 3 or 4 years. It was a very basic 3D printed nest. We had a sponge on the left side, a filter in the middle, and then the colony on the other side. And straight away, there were some issues with the ants being able to come into the sponge nest part of and all of that. And that was resulted. This is, of course, a product that's been discontinued for a long time. A long time, like 2 years or something, maybe, since this was discontinued. But this is still what we see when we see a new store coming out. We see a brand new store coming out with this nest that was made 3 or 4 years ago and was pretty much outdated very fastly after, because when you overhydrate it, you would flood the nest. And of course, then aesthetic made the mesh nest where the hydration chamber is beneath. But it still doesn't resolve in the, like you say, in the natural aspect of some whitetongue or gypsum in there. And for me, I personally haven't had great experience with both hydration trays and sponges, because both of them seem to dry incredibly quickly compared to whitetongue and gypsum, if you have them under heat, like in a VIF or just under heating cables. And I've lost multiple colonies because I've been used to the gypsum lasting a long time, once a week hydration top-ups, just to realize that it only took 2 or 3 days for the sponge nest and the other nests for the water to evaporate. Yeah, Jake, what do you think of hydration systems, just to end it off? Of course, we've been a little bit into it, but what do you think about sponges and all of this?
I'm definitely not a fan of the old sponges, just because what you said, like, and Lynn said, when you put too much in and it gets out, like, you're stuck with big blobs, and then next day you look in and it's like a few of them drowned in it and stuff, and it's like, oh no, and you can't do anything about it. No. And but I'll go off topic in a sec. But it also reminds me of like the one nest that I never liked, which was acrylic, which kind of jumps into a totally different topic, but I'm going to go there. It's basically, I blame Ant Hood for it as well, but some of the shops, they'll give the products to a reviewer who will review it, and then they'll give like a completely one-sided view of it, and it'll be untested as well, but they'll make out that it's the best nest ever. And what Ant Hood did this years ago with, it was a smart nest, it was. Can't remember who made it. And I got this thing, and it was an acrylic and like piece of junk with a little £2 thermometer sensor in the middle. And honestly, it was a terrible nest. Like, it was acrylic and it had sponge hydration, and the ants hated it because there wasn't really any hydration. It was just, yeah, there's a bit of hydration on the side, and they live right next to it if it was hydrated, because it dry out every day. And yeah.
And that's a clear sign it doesn't work when the ants live right inside of it almost.
Yeah. And I think the YouTubers are a little bit to blame for some of these junk boxes. And kind of some of the shops, they've realized that I can make a piece of junk, and if I send it to a load of people who are good at giving positive reviews, like the people that, I guess, it's a lot like the other like markets where if you get a reviewer that always gives a good review, you'll keep sending them things.
Yeah.
And some of the shops know if they just send it to the right people who'll give good reviews, like one-sided reviews, they'll get enough sales and make a load of money. And I think that's it, basically. It's all money. That's the annoying bit. Sometimes it's not all about the passion. And it's like, I do think some of these, if you're in it just for money, like, get out of the way, because there's some people out there that love ants and just want to like work with ants, and you're standing in the way of other people's dreams. Like,
Jake, what you're saying here is just gold. It's pure gold. I couldn't agree more. Just to finalize this 3D printed part, I feel like back when I started landscaping, 3D printed was beginning to be how an ant nest is made. And today, it's how the base of an ant nest is made. Like looking at the Wakushi products, where the 3D printed is only the shell, we have the gypsum in the middle, and aesthetic ants, where we have the 3D printed shell and the whiting in the middle. So from a full-on 3D printed print product, it's gone over to being just part of the process of building a product. And yeah, what you say, Jake, I think we're now entering the YouTuber part of this podcast, and I think you're hitting completely on the nail, or whatever you say, by saying that YouTubers are way too loose with their recommendations. I made the mistake of doing a review at one point when I was a young YouTuber a few years ago, and people started buying, and I was like, ah, damn, you bought the product, and suddenly people started having issues, and I had the same issues, and I was like, oh, okay, I contacted the store, and oh, they hadn't had the issue, and then oh, suddenly it was just like five people who had the issues, only us five, so we had all obviously done something wrong, because we had all put substrate inside of the outworld, and that's why it broke, because it wasn't made for that. Was like clearly later on discovered, but it was very clear for me, like, since then all my videos were first thoughts unboxings, never reviews, because if you do a review, you say your opinion, and you can't say your opinion unless you have tested the product, because your opinion will be worthless if all of the ants escape in 2 weeks time. Oh, this is the best nest ever. 2 weeks later I'm binning it because the ants are escaping left, right and center. I think it's a big responsibility for the YouTubers to wait. First impressions, fine. Say, oh, I've got this brand new product, really excited to test it out. Don't recommend it, because you don't know if it works yet. Looks cool, you don't know if it works. Unless it's literally just an adaptation for another product that's just in another form factor. Going into a little bit of the second part of this Is the Hobby Doomed podcast, is the overall lack of content creators at the moment. Because when I did a little counting before, and yesterday, before we did started talking today, I could count five active YouTubers that are releasing videos around once a week-ish. Jake, you've of course made a little bit of another list. How many have you counted, Jake, that makes like monthly videos?
I was going to say about 20, but I think it's about 15. That's in all languages, I think, in the whole world of everybody that I've found anyway. Yeah,
15, that's insane. That's so little.
Yeah, not the most, to be fair. And there's not many like Australian ones, which kind of, you'd think, oh, they'll be active over the winter because their seasons are backwards, but there's basically just been Novo ants and a channel I just found, Ants Epping, which I guess is from Australia, New Zealand, some way because of the accent.
And that's wild because Novo ants is like the Australian YouTuber now, but he used to be the furthest down. Like, we had Ants Australia themselves, and then we also had what, the Ants Us, I think it was called, or Us Ants, exactly. And then we had Ant Invasion, I believe he was in Australia as well. And I don't know if Ant International, I think it was from Singapore or something. There's all of these YouTubers who has all just gone quiet now, except for Novo Ants. He's just keeping up the Australian spirit over there. And it's the same if we move over here in Europe, because like we discussed a little bit before we recorded, a few years ago we had like Ants Hood, Ants and the Colonialist, Antscapes, Aesthetic Ants, and Holfer actually made videos. It's not doing that anymore. Ants Britannia. All of these ant keepers were just pumping out videos, and it was like weekly basis. Like at one point, like every week, we just had videos from 4 or 5 creators just pumping out brilliant content. And now we have Antimatters. You're making like weekly videos. We have Ants Dorset making somewhat weekly videos. We have, that's two, right? Let me just count the ones I counted yesterday in my hand. We have Tuga Ants starting to upload more and more. And we have the Crafting Ant. Those are the 4 people I watch on a regular basis. No Brands, you're right, I forgot about No Brands. And we also have D-Colony. All of those, that's just like the 6 guys I would say I watch almost every week. D-Colony a little bit up and down, but yeah, No Brands, Tuga Ants, the Crafting Ant, Ants Dorset, and Antimatters. That's like the 5-6 people I watch, which is insane, because the hobby has grown so much that we should have so many more creators. It's a shame, I think. What about you, Lynn? Lynn, you were one of the first like proper people in the hobby who discovered me. Like, I think you watched me when I had only like 100 to 200 subscribers. How many do you keep track of?
Back in the day, I used to be really active with all that. And right now, also, I'm not really following, or, well, I'm not finding them is actually more the thing. Normally, someone pops up on my feed, I watch them, I like the content, I start following them. But that's not really happening either at the moment. They're just, they aren't there. Where are you? Where is everybody? Everybody's gone.
They're making shorts, that's where they are. They're never being exposed to the real hobby.
When are we getting a new video, Ant Oliver? A big one, a good one, a juicy one.
Well, I'm recording a lot. My goal right now is once I have Bull Ant Workers, I'll make a Mimesia update in Brevinota. I mean, I've got this Mimesia Brevinota last year, and I still haven't made a single video about her on the main channel. But once I have Workers, then I've taken some clips here and there throughout the time, and I think that's my issue. My issue, the reason I've stopped making videos is because I want the quality to be so good, I just kind of just, nah, I want a good story, I want good quality, I want all of this, and nah, I just don't bother with it. Just over on the extra channel, just put out the phone and record a little bit. So I kind of killed myself by being too, putting my standards too high, and then also making a very long video, only to get 0 views pretty much. But what you also said, Lynn, you can't find them, and I think a big issue with having so few people going back and forth with all of the things we've talked about today is, if I say something negative about a product, I'll be the only guy out there saying something negative who makes a video. If I say something positive, I'll be the only guy out there saying something positive. I loved when Ant Hood were just taking the Wakushi Venus and just calling it the worstness out there, pretty much saying, oh, why is this of issue? Why is this here? Why is this here? Why is there no expansion port? Why is this here? He made the biggest rant about the Venus, like a 12-minute rant about the Venus. And I was like, dude, you're so aggressive. Like, it's a good product. But it wasn't. It had all of these things that should be fixed, and Wakushi listened because he listened to the YouTuber, and then it got fixed. And I'm so sad that Ants Hood isn't making all of these honest reviews anymore, because there's no one out there who's doing it. I mean, I'm trying a little bit, but the problem is I look so one-sided when we have products that are near perfection and we have products that really need a big working hand. And when I use both of them and I'm just like, this is a product I can't say much negative about, and this is a product I can't say much positive about, I just sound so one-sided. But the thing is just when you've tried so many things over the years, you kind of The nest you don't need to think about how it works, works. The nest where you're afraid to put ants inside, no, it doesn't work. I think that's a big issue with the lack of creators, with the lack of honest creators as well.
I was going to say, like, it's not all bad that there's not much activity on the creators' side of things. Because a lot of them, they do kind of post every, like, 4 months or something, like a video will turn up. And I think that the, like, what is taking a lot of them out is sometimes it'll be like, oh, I want to be big and famous, it just won't happen fast enough, or like they get into the hobby for, I don't know, say that some channels it's like, I just want to test things and get sent things for free to review and stuff, and it just doesn't work out like that. But you've got to be in it, but you've got to be kind of relaxed as well, and accept that sometimes if I don't have an idea, I'm just not going to make a video, like, and if I'm not having any ideas, no videos will happen, but that's all right as well. I think otherwise you will burn out. Like, you get the channels where it's like, I've got to make a video, like, every week, like, on the dot sort of thing. But it'll burn out a lot of channels, so.
I mean, that's...
It's not too bad that it's slowed down a bit.
Yeah, I just wish we had some new up-and-comers. We have a few, but there's just not that many. I mean, my biggest motivation for the 2 years where I made weekly videos was just... I wanted to beat Steadigans. Steadigans, he was in front of me. He was like at 500 subscribers when I was at 300. And we were good buddies, but he was the biggest motivation to make videos was because I wanted to beat him. I wanted to overtake him and be better. And I think that was brilliant because I think Steadigans was... When I got a subscriber, Steadigans wanted to also get a subscriber. And that way we kind of motivated each other because... I remember every time he did an update that wasn't too good, I'm like, yes, I'm gonna get more views now. And then I was like, oh damn, it's my turn to make an update about nothing. I think it boosted us both. I mean, I can only talk from my side, but I'm so competitive that if we had YouTubers really starting to pop off, I would probably say, okay, hang on, this guy is starting to pop off. Okay, he's really making good quality videos. Let me hang on. Let me just stop for a second and join the fight because I want to be, not necessarily want to be better, but I just want to compete with this guy for views and stuff like that. I'm just competitive like that. And I think, again, then the aesthetics kind of slowed down with his videos and I slowed down with his videos or with my videos. And then I was like, looking back at all of the weekly updates I'd made, like the quality wasn't great at all. Like it was very bad videos, most of them. And then I, of course, started focusing more on quality. And now I'm not uploading videos because quality is too big of a thing. So
definitely don't get disheartened with your views as well, because every time you make a video too, and you'll pour like all your like heart into this video, and it'll be the best video I've ever made. And if you ever like release it, just know it's going to get like 50 views as well. And it, yeah, that is one thing. That 100% happened. If you pour your heart into a video, it'll get no views.
Yeah.
But do it anyway. Like.
Exactly. You shouldn't make the videos for the views. I mean, I started making videos because, well, I'm going to be honest. When I started making videos, I was like, I'm going to beat Ant Scandinavia. That was before I had my first Ant. And I remember I was talking with my brother. He's like, I've been following Ant Scandinavia for 2 years. He's gone from 0 to 5,000 subscribers in no time. I can do that as well. Spoiler alert, I couldn't. I mean, I got my Lacious Niger and I took out my phone and just started recording. And I quickly realized that, holy smokes, this is boring. This is very bad quality. But the videos are still up there. You can still find them. And slowly I realized, hang on, I'm not here to beat Ant Scandinavia. I'm here to just have fun. And I just started documenting. But what you also said before, Jake, it's very true. A lot of YouTubers want to get free products left, right, and center. And this also means they become this fake positive YouTubers, because if you go out and say a lot of negative things about a product, another store may not reach out to you. And it's all of this balance of why you should do each thing, but just think it ends up just not having a lot of creators. I don't know if there's anything more you want to add to this, Lynn.
I also make videos just for myself because it's funny sometimes, but I don't have the motivation, so. Footage is like a year old and then I post it, so stuff like that.
You need a little bit of motivation to do a lot of videos. At least I'm gonna be honest, I'm lacking all my motivation at the moment. I look at all of my ants, like I try to record my ants because I know that once I have motivation I'll regret that I don't have the content, but like Full of Pest Queen, all right, she has X. Once she has larvae, so I can do a video about her. And looking at the bullet, she has X. Once she has larvae, and all of this, I don't want to do updates of nothing. I want to wait until something happens. And for the long form videos, I want to do like an entire year's worth of footage from day one to day 100 for how my bullet ain't got one worker, pretty much. But yeah, Jake, what are your thoughts? Anything more you want to add to this topic?
Ooh, well, I do have one thing. Is I'd say if you want to do a channel and you don't want to burn out, there's the best channel that, not to copy, but to kind of, I think he's got he's got everything down basically, like for a long lasting ant channel, and that's Basic Ants. Like he's just got it perfect, that perfect balance of like when his ants do so like something, or he like finds them like up to something, or I don't know, learn something new, he'll make a video. And it doesn't seem, there's no stress for the videos, I don't think. And they come out like naturally over hibernation. Like he doesn't make any videos, but that's all right.
And, yeah.
But I think the way Basic Ants does it seems to be like good.
I think he has the correct motivation. I mean, his motivation, if I remember correctly from when he was at the podcast at one point, was he didn't want to make the same reply to every single comment on Reddit, like how do I give my ants water? So he started just making the simple videos, the basic ant keeping. And now he's just making videos whenever there's something to say. Look, my ants are not taking the solid sugar cube, they're taking the apple juice instead.
Yeah, I really like that phrase.
Yeah, just make videos when there's something to record. And I found it interesting looking at that they didn't prefer the solid sugar, they just wanted the liquid, which of course makes sense because they can suck it up a little bit better compared to the sugar, the solid product. And it's these things, like it just makes videos whenever that's something to document. And like you say, Jake, hibernation, quiet. I just hope we get more YouTubers. I mean, the up-and-comers YouTubers I see right now, the complete new ones I see the potential in right now is Tuka Ants and the Crafting Ant. Tuka Ants has an amazing energy, up-and-comer, definitely. And the Crafting Ant is making some very nice videos. Again, I see a lot of aesthetic ants in the Crafting Ant compared to where aesthetic ants started, with them making very simple videos and making his own products for the videos. And I see a lot of the same similarities in the Crafting Ant. He has a few colonies and he wants to make some products for the colonies. And he said he's gone out to say he's not going to sell them because it's just for his personal use. I mean, he may sell them in the future, but I like that he's not making products to sell, but he's making products to play around for his ants.
But I'm going to check out Basic Ants because I actually do not follow that person yet.
Oh my god!
So now I have something to watch.
Oh my, he's an OG almost at this point. Like, he's been making videos for many years. And I loved when we all discovered Basic Ants. It was so funny. I remember, like, he had like 20 subscribers or 30 subscribers, and someone posted in one of the big Facebook groups, like, oh, look at this guy. And we all just subscribed to him. And it was back when Aesthetic and I were making weekly updates. We had like 2,000 subscribers each or something. And we all just went and commented, like, Aesthetic Ants commented, and Hulfa commented, Bakushi commented, all of these just commented, like, oh my god. good times. But yeah, guys, I feel like we've covered this topic a lot. Again, the overall headlines is, I really hope the stores will stop copying each other, they'll test more, and they'll showcase testing a lot more. And if they're coming out with a product that's not been tested a lot, please put a big discount and a note that the product is not fully tested. It may scare the customers away, but it also should, because you shouldn't put out a product that's not tested. You just shouldn't. You're gonna damage your brand a lot more if it goes wrong. Your brand is gonna die if you put out nests that don't work. That's actually quite simple. But it's now time for the weekly updates. And Lynn, you left us on quite a cliffhanger last week by saying what a crazy setup you were currently keeping your leaf cutters inside. Is it still the same, or what's the update with your bull ant?
Peggy's still doing fine. I'm surprised her larvae have not pupated yet, so I think they have a little bit more growing to do. I'm still feeding them her every other day some protein. She's still waiting at the entrance whenever I feed her, so she's doing really well. Still 7 larvae as well, so that's actually a pretty nice amount, I think, for a single queen to start out with. 7 big larvae.
Yeah,
she started with 10, of course, but now it's 7. So that's something to say there. That was pretty good. She's doing very good. And the leaf critters are still inside of the tub.
Lynn. How are they doing?
Well, I had to tilt the cup. I don't remember if I mentioned that last week that I had to tilt the cup a little bit because moisture was building up and there were water droplets on the floor and it almost touched the fungus. So, but now the cup is tilted, so no more water can go there. And I've actually made some pictures recently inside of the cup because my mom, sister and aunt, they were all really curious about what kind of crazy ant is this, because you don't see that every day, of course, except for in the zoos. The Dutch zoos have a lot of leaf cutters that die pretty much, but yeah. I'm still figuring out what kind of leaves they like. They have been cutting a lot, but not really putting it on the fungus. You can see some green blobs on the fungus for now. And I hope it's gonna develop, the fungus. Oh, and you can see the brood in the fungus. It's really interesting to see. I'm honestly a bit sad I didn't start with leaf cutters earlier because they're really interesting ants.
They're so different. They're nothing like normal ants. And I mean, I'm imagining such a setup where you just really can't see the ant through. It may just be my head, but once you update them to a setup where you can see everything inside, it's maybe you can already, but it's so funny.
I have to open it up.
Oh,
I have
okay.
to open up the cup, so that's pretty, because you expose everything to the air.
Drying out the fungus.
Pretty much, which was a little bit... It was when I picked them up, this guy, he was like, oh, I'm going to show you the ants, and he just opened the cup, and I was like, oh, you're not supposed to do that!
No!
Because I always heard about you need to keep them closed, and you need to keep them contained, to keep the moisture in there, and he was just opening it up and showing everything and everybody, and oh my god, I was like, no!
Oh, I can imagine the heartbreak when seeing that. Like when you see the ant guy or the postage coming and just dropping the package and flying and making it a 180 and all of this. Dying mentally. So when is the new setup coming for them? How long should they be in this current setup?
UPS is keeping my package hostage. And I actually contacted UPS today and they were like, oh yeah, I'm not sure what's going on because all the info seems to be correct. You have to send an email to this person, ask what's going on. So now I'm waiting for a response because they have no reason to keep my package, but they're keeping my package for some reason.
Been there, done that, hate that. What about you, Jake? What are your weekly updates? Updates?
Well, William and family, the messes, doing absolutely brilliant still, and if you go into AntCon you might be able to actually have a meet and greet with William, because I'm gonna bring him. I think that William is coming along with his family just because I like him.
I'm gonna get his autograph then.
I take like a bigger tank, but I'm taking the train, so I've got to be able to carry it around, if you get what I mean. But yeah, I'm gonna take William. And apart from that, actually, I've given my leaf cutter ants their first piece of rope, the atter, and it's so good. It's so like them running up and down it with leaves. Oh, best thing ever. Like they're nothing people.
Is there a ton of these small strings sticking out of the rope at the moment, or is it all nice and looking?
Yeah, but I did get a lighter and I like ran it up and down to take off like the really long little...
You don't need to do that. The leaf cutters, they'll cut them all off themselves. So funny, I had so many of these things sticking out of the rope. Took them like a month and it had all been cut off. It's just disappeared. So
keep an eye on them, see if I can spot one doing it as well.
I mean, I didn't spot mine doing it, but I just realized it's just all gone now, because I had the original rope, I had the spare meter, and with so many of these strings still. And then I looked at the other one, it was just all like smooth almost, so it's just been cutting away.
I've just looked in the tetramorium tank, which like the bit of the rope goes over the top, and there is a few little strands in the tank, and they've been chopping away.
Well, finally, my weekly updates. I don't even know what to say. It's my last day as a Tetramorium Bike Air and Atom Keeper. A Danish guy is picking them up tomorrow, so I'm so sorry, Jake. I'm gonna leave the team. It's been a great joy. It's been a great joy and a great pain. Once this hobby has a new escape engine product that allows me to keep them without having to take escapees every time, I'll come back. But yeah, I mean, it's not been too much to say this week. The bullet ant is up to 6x. The Fulvipes bull ant has 3x. And my other bull ant, the Mimesia, has 3 cocoons. The final cocoon slash larvae did die, as I expected. It was very slim and started to look weird in the end. And yeah, 3 cocoons. So other than that, I should be getting a package from Australia. It was meant to be shipped this week, but sadly, the Danish postal service won't accept packages at the moment, apparently. So yeah. That's a funny error message from, I think it was UPS, that said, nah, temporarily closed. Just like, huh? What? So either it has to go for a very expensive shipping with FedEx, which it probably will be, because I don't imagine that it's going to be different next week. So yeah, I'm going to have to get the FedEx. But yeah, that's my weekly updates. Jake, final words about this topic. Is the hobby doomed?
Well, I was going to just ask you, what's in the Australian package, or is that a secret?
It's so much a secret that I'm just going to say it now. But yeah. Green weavers, actual green weavers with green bots and all.
Three ones, yeah.
Then we have the meat ants. So I haven't kept meat ants before, and that's time to keep meat ants. And finally, I'm going to die, but then need a big column to kill me. So yeah, I thought, you know, meat ants, why not? And finally, Mimesia. There's two, and the Pilisula? No. It's the Jackjumper ants, the actual Jackjumpers. I can't remember if they're... I think other than Pilisula. There's two that's very similar names. Either way, Jackjumpers, an actual Jackjumper ant queen. So, yeah, three colonies coming directly from Australia, from Queen of Ants, if everything goes well. I mean, the order was made, but she couldn't ship it. Okay. Yeah. I hope that it's going to come next week, if everything goes well. First package shipped directly from Australia. Normally I go through the redistribution companies like Ant Antics, Ants HQ, Static Ants, or Antico. But Jake, final words about the SC hobby doomed. Would you say yes, no, and why?
No, I don't think it's doomed really. Like, over longer terms, it should even itself out, because if we've got twice as many YouTubers in 5 years, but they only make half as many videos, it'll be the same as what we had. Yeah, that's my view. And I guess shops, like, if they're not making any money, they'll disappear.
Very true. I think I think a lot of these stores will not survive long term. They will be like a 1 to 2 year product or project, and then the stores will realize, hang on, it's maybe not the best business to go into. And that's what I could imagine, at least. Then what is your final thoughts, final words of today's topic?
Let's wait and see what happens when hibernation quiets down and summer starts coming, and let's see what happens.
And my final words are, we're all gonna die. before we started, I was like, is the hobby doomed? Yes, we're all gonna die. And then Lynn was like, yeah, we are, eventually. So, yeah, we're all gonna die, that's my final words. with that, I want to say thank you for listening in. The AntPod releases new episodes every Wednesday, and if there's a topic you would like to, be sure to send a message to the AntPod Instagram. And with that, you'll hear more from us at the AntPod next week.